in our sleep, nigga. Jack in control, Jack in control, Jack in control, Jack in control. Never been in love before. Jack in control, Jack in control. I wanna holler at you, man. Jack in control, Jack. You know it's hard for a player to admit that sometimes. Jack in control, but I'ma spit that sometimes. Jack in control, you know what I'm saying? Jack in control, hey, give it to me one time, nigga. Jack in control, Jack.
There's something about this girl, and from around my way, ever try to hold back your feelings, but it just wouldn't stay. But when I finally found the words to say, I wanted to run away, slip and run away. Can't try to run and hide, run back at your friends. Can't lie to yourself.
Hey, yes sir, that's her. But it wasn't like that back when I met her.
What?
The lavish life from all the dose fun. Before the double R had to hitchhike dumb.
What?
Her friends didn't like niggas like us, but I arrested the coochie and the feelings got cuffed. Spiderweb sex must have got caught up. But there's more to it, I remember once. Saying less shit on the peons. Let's go to Vegas and watch Celine Dion. Make them say what we on. You say no like you was doing it for eons. Fuck it, I just hum and let the watch give off the neons. When it rains, it pours. I laugh to myself when I change the story. You said my sex was a lot, but my brain gave you more. And something about how your ex was a toy. I guess he played games. There's only diamond dice here, not trying to justify. When you shut your eye, you can touch the sky. You in trouble, ma. And you should pray about speed. But it's just about you. What that say about
yo, 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 what's the deal? What's the motherfucking deal? This your boy, this your motherfucking boy, King Known Uncensored. We're back once again. Yeah, I know I've been gone for a while, but trust me, the production will increase in a couple of weeks for sure once these NBA playoffs finally get decided, you know. That's what's holding back the production right now, is it's so competitive on both conferences. We kind of know, we still don't know what either conference is going to look like, especially the Western Conference. But the East is closer to being more done than the West. But the title of this episode, it's called Trouble on Planet Neptune. Oh my goodness. What's going on with Pharrell and Chad? But before we get to that, Rajon Rondo retires officially. Man, I always felt like a lot of these teams were a Rajon Rondo away from a title. You had, you know, Rondo was one of the last true point guards left. Like, he is most known for being a Boston Celtic and winning the championship with that 2008 Celtics team. I believe he was a rookie that year he won. And as he remained in the league, you know, his skills were on full display, especially when he got the keys to run particular teams. Like, me personally, I liked him on Boston. He was a great point guard, man. The numbers don't wow you or pop out, but it's a possibility that this dude could be a Hall of Famer later on down the line. I think he's got the resume to be a Hall of Famer. Rondo wasn't the most perfect point guard, you know. He be wilding out. But he won two championships, one with the Celtics and one with the Lakers. Not too many players that could say that. I remember him being very key in that 2020 playoff run. And he doesn't seem to get the credit. It only seems like one player gets credit for that 2020 championship. But back to Rondo, though. His skill set was crazy. His passing ability, his ability to finish at the rim. And his leadership is another aspect of his that is very underrated, in my personal opinion. So, salute to Rajon Rondo for a successful NBA career. I hope to see Rondo coach one day. That's what I've always wanted to see. Like, I wanted to see him, like, coach a team. Even if it's, like, a G League or a college team.
Jungle Beats, holla at me.
It seemed like, I don't know, it's something underrated about Rondo. I mean, he's definitely a top 15 point guard of all time, in my opinion. Oh boy. So Drake is sensitive, part 105. I think I already did a video about Drake being sensitive, and a lot of niggas got their panties up in a bunch. But we gonna do this again. We gonna run it back. So Drake was seen on stage blowing up like a replica of Travis Scott. He had like a similar look to where Travis Scott had on Astroworld, and Drake just shot it up and blew up the replica on stage. And he was upset that, I guess, Travis was excited when he heard the Kendrick diss, a little bit too excited. And Drake responded to that, and then, you know, he's liking this video of LeBron James bouncing to the song that Kendrick dissed him on. Like, you gotta remember, LeBron is a Kendrick Lamar fan. Like, he likes Drake, but he fuck with Kendrick. Kendrick released a project because of this nigga. And, you know, he also sent Metro Boomin and Future invoices about using him to boost their album sales. Well, Drake, I hate to break it to you, buddy, but that record was going to sell regardless. It may not have sold 250,000, which we'll get into after this, right? But it would have done at least close to 200. That shit probably got Future like 40,000, 50,000 more copies. But that Future album was going to sell. Future's not going to do 100, under 100K. So you can stop that immediately. Just because corporate America buys hundreds and thousands of copies of your music doesn't mean that there isn't corporate entities behind Future. So that's hella corny. And Drake, this just goes to show you how sensitive Drake really is, man. And he still hasn't come back and released a response. He's just doing these little things on stage. Yeah, man. They, you know, everybody's turning their back on me, man. Are artists turning their back on Drake, or they see the type of person that Drake really is, to see that he's not really authentic? Authentic musically and authentic as a human being. Drake is a person who has an identity crisis. He doesn't know who he really is, hypothetically speaking. And many accuse him of being a culture vulture, which I agree with to a certain extent, because he slutted out a lot of culture. I'm not going front. I'm not saying Drake music is whack, but I'm just saying, like, he used a lot of things to stay relevant in the game. That's all. Russell Westbrook. I don't know what's up with these fans. Russell Westbrook is going to have to make an example out of somebody one day.
because, you know, another fan decided to go up and insult Russell Westbrook to his face. And Russ ended up having a conversation with this person. You know, you speaking on my name crazy. You lost your mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, Russell Westbrook, you've been too nice too long. I would whoop on one of these fans to let them know that I'm not to be played with. Like, Russ has been getting held back from fans his whole career. Like, Russ needs to go ahead and put hands on a fan. They need to let him do it just one time. Because people are playing with Russ like he won't do nothing. And the thing, and that's one of the things I don't like about NBA fans. They think that they could just because you pay X amount of money for a seat, that you think you could just talk to these niggas any kind of way. You paid to see them. They didn't pay to see you, Otis. And I just think that with Russ, with Kevin Durant, all these people disrespecting these players, this shit's gotta stop. Oh boy, 50 Cent versus Stevie J. This is hilarious. This is the thing. So 50 posted something about Stevie J being in the Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Brother Love reports. His name popped up in one of the reports as doing homosexual acts. And Stevie J responded by saying, I want the fade. He want to fight 50. And I'm like, why the fuck do you want to fight 50 for? He's reporting the news. He posted an article. I understand that he's talking shit about Puffy. But it's kind of like, you know, I think their relationship reminds me of like the two, like two brothers going at each other. I don't think anything, I don't think it's serious. Like, I don't think 50 has like any real hate for Puff, even though one, you know, of course, you know, Fifth's baby mama. Oh yeah, we can get into that too. Ha ha ha. 50's baby mama, Daphne Joy, was listed as one of his sex workers. But Steven, why you want to fight Fifth? Fight the person that put out that report. And Stevie J didn't deny the allegations. If a person accused me of something crazy like that, I'm coming out and being like, I did not have sexual relations with that nigga, Mr. Combs. Nigga, I'm coming out like Bill Clinton did. I'm coming out like Rafael Palmeiro did in baseball. I did not take steroids. Pointing the finger and all that. But Stevie did not deny it. And then 50's response to Stevie J's fade was old footage of Jocelyn whooping his ass on Love and Hip Hop. That's hilarious. 50 is just somebody that you don't want to be on the wrong side of. I keep trying to tell y'all, leave Curtis alone. That's not an arena that you want to step in. You got to be prepared to step into the arena, and that's word to Gangstar. But 50 Cent's baby mama, Daphne Joy, was listed as one of P. Diddy's sex workers. And the woman comes, then Daphne Joy comes out and accuses 50 of rape and abuse when they were together. 50 Cent has moved on to a whole nother woman and is not, and was not even thinking about her. And that's wild. Like, if I'm 50, I'm just like, really? And 50's on this rampage talking about little sex workers and posting songs like, we work hard for the money. Like, this is hilarious. Like, 50 and this Instagram shit and this power shit, you know, he's found his lane. That nigga crazy, bro. That nigga is fucking crazy, dog. And speaking of Diddy, oh boy, King Combs, what the fuck? So he is also accused of sexual assault or sexual misconduct and drugging this female. Like, now he's got a case put on him. I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck is going on with this family? First, Justin Combs is mentioned on the report. And now King Combs has a case of his own. You can't make this shit up. Man, it's giving Rico at this point. For the whole goddamn family, it's giving Rico. That whole family is fucked. You heard me? Fucked. All right, man. We got two Hall of Fame announcements. So Chauncey Billups, Billups, was inducted, is going to be inducted into the 2024 Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Chauncey Billups. For those that don't know, Chauncey Billups is my favorite point guard of all time. If I were to choose any point guard all time to play point guard for any of my rosters, Chauncey's my first choice. Chauncey began his career bouncing around multiple rosters. You know, he was a Celtic, he was on the Nuggets, you know what I'm saying? And he was just trying to find his way. He was on the Timberwolves. Then once he got his opportunity to shine on the Detroit Pistons in a free agent acquisition, this is where he made his home for multiple years, as the Pistons went to, I believe it was 6 straight Eastern Conference Finals and ended up winning the championship in 2004, and Chauncey Billups ended up winning the Finals MVP, as he should have, as they upset the 2004 Los Angeles Lakers that had Karl Malone and Gary Payton, even though they were older, but still, great accomplishment. And he was a key cog for the Bad Boys 2.0 Pistons with Larry Brown and Ben Wallace and Rasheed and all those guys. Without Chauncey, we don't win that championship. Because every team needs that guy that's going to get everybody on the same page. He's most known for working out the post, hitting clutch shots. He took a lot of shots that people were scared to take. And then also to have the point guard skills. Because a lot of point guards, they weren't great three-point shooters like Chauncey. Then, of course, Chauncey's free throws. We're not going to get into how clutch he was at the line. And then, you know, he helped the 2009 Denver Nuggets get to the Western Conference Finals and won 2 games off of Kobe Bryant. So, well-deserved, Chauncey. And then another great underrated icon was inducted into the Hall of Fame today as well, and Vince Carter is his name. Vince Carter played the most seasons out of any NBA player. I think he played 23 seasons. I think it was 23 seasons in the NBA. Vince Carter took the game by storm when he was drafted. I believe it was in 1998. He came into the league. He was a high-flying, high-wire act in Toronto. And he put the Raptors on the map as a franchise. And he is the winner of the classic 2000 slam dunk contest, where he had the greatest individual slam dunk contest performance. And he was known for throwing it down on motherfuckers. But his skill set was what was underrated to me. I mean, he had a three, he had a mid-range, he had a post game. He was one of those Jordan seeds, you know? Modeled his game after Mike. He just didn't win that title. The furthest he went, I believe, was the Eastern Conference Finals, and that was 2010? I think it was 2010, 2011. Not sure. But that's the furthest he went as far as the playoffs were concerned. The only thing that held him back from, like, taking it to the next level was, of course, injuries. But Carter was able to bounce back and give us 23 seasons in the NBA of Magic and dunks. So congratulations to Vince Carter. Man, these are two players that are in my top 10 favorites of all time. Chauncey and Vince. Vince in my top 5. I think Chauncey's in my top 10 favorites of all time. So it's good that my two guys is in the Hall of Fame. Salute to them. Congratulations. Joel Embiid returned yesterday. People had been speculating when Embiid was going to come back. And that happened to be yesterday. As the Sixers beat the Thunder without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Embiid had 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists, and 3 steals in his return. Although that there were a few kinks he had to work out, he seemed to be back into MVP form. And that's a good sign for the 76ers. However, you know, they have... how many games is left in the season? They have 7 games. Let's see. The Sixers. How many games the Sixers? Yeah, they got 6. They actually have 6 games to work it out to where they could get out the play-in. And that's not going to be very easy. Especially with the fact that Tyrese Maxey's hasn't been 100%. But salute to Embiid. Clippers, man, what the fuck is going on with the Los Angeles Clippers? What happened to Virgil? Like, on a previous show, I had them going to the finals. And they made me look completely stupid lately. I don't think things have been the same since James Harden jumped in front of Kawhi Leonard. And I have been saying, like, Harden doesn't take anything seriously. And that's why he will never win a championship. Like, I hope that the Clippers can get it together by the time the playoffs start. Because, you know, Russell Westbrook just came back. And they've just been on a downward spiral. The second half of the season, we saw a tale of two seasons. But despite all the bullshit, the Clippers are officially in the playoffs. They have officially made the playoffs despite them struggling. Hopefully they get on the good foot, but who's even more on a worse foot, despite them being number 2 in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks. Despite them making the playoffs,
the Bucks have struggled, and they all, you know, a fun fact, Adrian Griffin in 43 games had 13 losses for the Bucks. Doc Rivers, in his short amount of time, already has lost 13 games as the Bucks head coach. Y'all said give that man 10 games, and it's been nothing but up and down. It's easy to point the finger at him and the GM of the Bucks for this falling apart, because Dame and Giannis were fine the first few games of the season. And as soon and it's just ironic that they bring this guy in because they don't trust Adrian Griffin. And the players, you know, had a meltdown in the locker room about Griffin and wanted him gone. I feel like they should have just gave that nigga a season at least to see what they could come up with. But now the curse of Adrian Griffin is going to eat the Bucks alive. And if they get Miami, they are as good as gone in the first round. That's my personal opinion. Another team that has officially made the play-in is the Chicago Bulls. And I'm pretty sure that Atlanta is going to make the play-in as well very soon, if not right now. Especially with the Hawks playing the Pistons today. I believe this will be the game where they clinch the play-in. Because we know that Chicago and Atlanta are going to be 9-10. We can make those early predictions at this point, like I did before. All right, let's see what else is going on in the news. Kawhi ended up sitting out the last Clippers game. They say his knee is sore. Now, the Clippers have not come out and said whether this injury is serious or not. Hopefully, it's day-to-day and not going to affect him once the playoffs begin. Check in on other NBA news. Memphis Grizzlies star Ja Morant and his longtime agent Jim Tanner have parted ways. Tanner had represented Morant since coming out of Murray State as the number 2 overall pick in the 2019 NBA draft. Wow, that's mighty interesting. I wonder what led to this point. Wow. Oh, wow. Hornets coach Steve Clifford is stepping down as the Hornets coach at the end of the season to move into a front office and the beginning of a search of his successor. Steve Clifford was always mid to me as a head coach, and now they want him in the front office? I mean, Clifford has been on this organization a shit ton of times. This was one of Michael Jordan's hires. So, I'm not surprised that they want to move him into a higher-ranking position. But the Hornets are just not a winning franchise. There's not much you could do to save this team. Unless you got an NBA player that's from Charlotte that wants to come there. But Hornets are in the same situation as the Pistons. You know, you're going to have to build through the draft. And they have not been very successful in that draft. Outside of LaMelo Ball and Miles Bridges, like, who have they drafted that's been any good? Got Book Knight flopped. Mark Williams seems to be flopping as well.
Ty Jones flopped. I've talked about this shit before on previous shows about how the Charlotte Hornets are a complete shitstorm. Kevin Porter Jr. has agreed to a deal with the Greek club PAOK for the rest of the season. At least this nigga can get into some shape. I don't know, man. Do you think that Kevin Porter will get back in the NBA at some point? Because, you know, he's getting the opportunity to ball out for this Greek team. I doubt it because, you know, the block is still a little bit too hot for him. All right, let's see. Anything else before we get to this? Neptune situation? All right. Yeah. Yeah, we ain't got to the main event. I'm patiently waiting just like an AIDS test. What's the result? Not positive. Who the best? Pop, not as big. Ain't no best. East, west, north, south, floor style, gritty. I embrace y'all with an palm. Left chest, face, gun. I be nice, be garbage. Send me autos at your cottage. Burning at the side of your throne. Come out of my gun. I got this. Y'all know what it is. All right, so. Man, this is crazy, insane news. The Neptunes are now battling each other for... They're in a legal dispute over the group's name. Wow. Y'all unfamiliar with who the Neptunes are? Pharrell Williams and Chad Hugo formed the duo in 1992. Okay? And they are most known for basically running the early 2000s and late 90s with their hit records. It's too many to name, and it's not enough time to name all the great hits that they've been a part of. And I had thought that they had reunited and got back together. But from my vantage point, it looks like Pharrell is producing the beat and using the Neptunes' name. Because usually, you know, Pharrell credits himself as just the producer. So I don't know. Let's read. So the Neptunes musical duo appears to be going through some legal drama. According to reports, record producer Chad Hugo is accusing his longtime partner and longtime friend Pharrell Williams of trying to capitalize off the group's name by fraudulently seeking sole control over trademarks. As part of Chad Hugo's filing, he claims Pharrell attempted to register trademarks for the Neptunes name without his consent. Chad Hugo and his legal team argued that the musician violated their long-established agreement to split everything equally. Chad's attorney, Kenneth D. Fraudenlich, alleges throughout their 30-year history, Hugo and Williams agreed to, in fact, have divided all assets. By ignoring and excluding Hugo from any and all applications filed by the applicant for the mark, the Neptunes, applicant has committed fraud in securing the trademarks and acted in bad faith. Damn. However, a rep for Pharrell Williams claims in a recent statement that there were no hidden agendas behind the trademark filings. Pharrell is surprised by this. We have reached out on multiple occasions to share in the ownership of the administration of the trademark, and we'll continue to make that offer. The goal here was to make sure that a third party doesn't get a hold of the trademark and to guarantee Chad and Pharrell share in ownership and admiration.
Chad's dispute notes three separate applications to register the Neptunes as a trademark included one covering the use of the name on streaming music, another for music videos and other content, and a third covering live performances. Trademark applications were reportedly filed in 2022 by Pharrell Williams' company. Wow. This shit is a mess. Hopefully these guys can get it together. But a person who knows Chad and Pharrell better than anyone, Pusha T, decided to comment on this. And he expressed, this is according to Hip Hop DX, he expressed his dismay at Pharrell and Chad being embroiled in a legal battle over the trademark. There is not a dollar involved in the stupidity. Just a lawyer trying to drain Chad's pockets. Interesting. So he feels like the lawyer has control over Chad's mind. That's a very fucked up situation, man. Hopefully they can resolve this and get back to doing what they love to do. All right, let's see. Let's take a look at the NBA standings once again. Once again, it's on. We all know in the East, we got the standings update once again. Yeah, I gotta start putting dates on this shit. Of course, we know Boston's gonna have home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs. Of course, we all know that. As these guys possibly could win 60 plus games. We know Milwaukee is at number two, but they're looking kind of vulnerable these days, and so is Cleveland. Looks very vulnerable as well, so that 2 and 3 spot could change within the next couple of days. It's 7 games left for some, and it's 6 games left for some. Orlando Magic and the New York Knicks. From the looks of it, hey, man, they have an opportunity to go after that number two seed if Milwaukee and Cleveland slip. And so does the Orlando Magic. They have the same record. They're tied for the 4 and 5 seeds. Indiana, they have some room to grow, to go up. The Miami Heat are on, you know, they've won 7 out of 10. They're starting to get chemistry. Terry Rozier has finally integrated himself within that lineup, and now he's looking like the Terry Rozier from Boston. And it's very, very close between the 3 seed and the 7 seed. Philadelphia, you know, they still got some ground to cover with the return of Joel Embiid. They've got 6 games to see, like, where they will land. Looking at the East, 1 through 8, we don't know where they're going to go. I mean, we know that the only thing we do know is that Boston will be number 1. Chicago will be number 9, and Atlanta will be number 10. That's it.
Western Conference. We know that Denver, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and the Los Angeles Clippers have clinched a playoff spot. Everybody else has not. Which makes things very scary and very interesting. We have Dallas at the 5 spot. They climbed from 8 to 5. New Orleans Pelicans stay within the playoff race as to where they don't have to fall into the play-in. They're hanging on for dear life
without Brandon Ingram right now. They're 6th at this point. Sacramento, they're up and down. Obviously, they lost Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter for the season. Well, Monk for 4 to 6 weeks. You know, it depends on how far Sacramento makes it throughout the playoffs to whether Monk could come back. Then you got the Phoenix Suns, who had a major downward spiral as well. You know, Phoenix don't play no defense. That's on them. But however, as close as it is, they have a chance to make it to the 5 seed if they get their shit together. And the Los Angeles Lakers are not too far off from them either. They can make it to a 5 or 6 seed. You know, they're not, you know, I'm surprised they're not talking about them winning their last 7 out of 10. You know, they'd be the talk of the town if they win game. But you've noticed that their schedule towards the end of the season's easy as fuck. You know, they gave them all those hard games, but a lot of those teams were wounded. They weren't fully 100%. And now, you know what I'm saying? Now they playing the Wizards. They're playing the Nets. They're playing the goddamn... the Pistons. You know, teams like that. I'm just like, y'all motherfuckers, man. Y'all look hella obvious on what y'all trying to do. Golden State is 10th. The Rockets, they are 3 games ahead of the Rockets now. Golden State has won their last 5 games. And from the looks of things, we don't know who's going to be number 1 in the West. Want to know why? Because Minnesota and OKC are a half game behind Denver. The Los Angeles Clippers are likely to be, they're not going to be a 3rd seed. It's either 4th or worse for them. Meanwhile, you have seeds 5 through 10 separated by 4 games. And we don't know who's going to play who in the entire Western Conference. And we don't even know who is going to be in the play-in game in the Western Conference. So this is why I haven't been dropping episodes every day like I normally do, because nothing is decided. Because once the playoff seeds are decided and the play-in games are decided, we could get into every matchup, every scenario, and my possible picks on the run to the NBA Finals. All right, y'all, that is my show for the day. Slow news week, slow news week. Trouble on planet Neptune, and I'm gone.